There's no place to escape to.
This is the last podcast
on the left.
Side stories.
Live from your glade.
That's when the cannibalism started.
Side stories. Yes.
It'll be sexy.
Yeah, it'll be sexy. You sound sexy, Kissel.
Yeah, that's what it is. Sexy.
Yeah, you sound sexy. You sound like a man dressed up as Nick Nolte telling people that he's Nick Nolte.
Or telling people he's Gary Busey. I always confuse those two.
You do?
I don't know why. In my head, Gary Busey and Nick Nolte hold the exact same piece of pie.
I'd love to see them kiss.
Oh, yeah.
I'd love to see him kiss just to see just what it's like to see two human cigarette butts make out with each other, which is actually a very easy thing to do if you live in St. Louis or you live in like Cincinnati, these beautiful cities where we love them. I love St. Louis. Cincinnati. But there's a lot of people that there's an ashtray look. That's in those cities.
Well, they're focused. They're good at their jobs. You got to smell like cigarette smoke if you work in the industry.
That's my father. My father loves his cigarettes more than he loves his wife or his children.
He's mostly cigarettes, and unlike his wife and children, cigarettes won't kill him. All right, everyone, this is Side Stories. I am Ben, hanging out with Henry Zebrowski. Henry, I don't know what happened to my voice. It's gone.
I think you're being punished by fucking Jehovah
for what?
Every sin you've ever done, and it's all catching up right now.
I have given nothing but joy through my words, humor. I get emails. People say, oh, I love Round Table of Gentlemen, they'll tell me. And they say, Abe Lincoln's Top Hat, how fun and interesting. I disagree. Yep. Maybe they disagree sometimes. And then for this show, they say, oh, my God, how did you guys create two unbelievably successful podcasts? And
how
to that, I say, it is all about how much do you weigh and how much do you want it?
It's can you be fat enough to want enough to get it? I do believe you got to start fat. I know this morning, you're not like, I know you're not, it's not that you're weird with food, but you're different with food. You don't have the same kind of attachment to food that I have.
No,
like
I usually,
pathologically.
My problem is, and by the way, I am currently doing pretty well when it comes to sober January.
You really are.
I have not had any booze in all of January, which is amazing. Obviously, God has cursed me with horrible throats. I sound like Steve Buscemi's asshole. But nonetheless.
Hey, you can give me a cigarette?
Hey, you know, the lips get all the cigarettes. We want to pass one down the old butthole, would you?
You're ruining these filters.
But I don't know what happened. Sober January, the voice is gone. Maybe is alcohol the thing that has been powering me for all of these years?
Don't start this validation process. Don't start it, because this is how it always begins. It's being like, well, I got to get back on vodka during the day. That's actually the lesson I'm taking from Sober January. But you don't have like food cravings. Right.
No, I eat like I don't eat, and then I eat a whole bunch of food.
It's called binge.
Don't eat, so it's not good. Yeah, binge eating. And but I don't purge. I don't purge unless I'm very drunk. But occasionally a purge will happen. Because you know what? I know it's not good, but it is, and you should not do it. We need to take care of ourselves.
No, of course not. This is self-love. This is not a thing to be taken lightly. There's people that have like this is the pet, but I'll say this is a problem with dudes. And quote-unquote eating disorders is that we're not told to recognize them because we were taught to do them a lot of times in sports.
No, it's just called making weight. If you have to be down to 165 by Saturday, well, I'm sorry, buddy. It's time for you to do some purging. But it's not good. Be careful out there. But that's my problem. I will do a whole bunch of food at once. But Henry, you're a savant. You're a sommelier of good food.
I'm a snurzy snail.
I sometimes will snap awake with a fantasy of what I'm going to eat that day.
Really?
Like a vicious pregnant woman in bed. And this morning, so we're recording earlier this week than we normally would. I'm in Atlanta.
Yeah.
We're recording because I'm about to be at Natalie's grandmother's house. And ooh. Natalie's grandma, I don't know what happens to grandmas, but they just get grandma internet. Every one of them has grandma internet. It's like my parents' internet went to shit for some reason as they turned 65.
Technically, it's called perfect freedom. That is it. That is like when you get old enough to no longer need the internet. What is she going to look at the internet for?
They
Lou Dobbs?
You know what? I'm reversed. They don't need it. They should be cut off.
No.
But so we're doing this early because of here. But this morning I woke up. Now, obviously, this is not very true crime related or last podcast related. But sometimes, y'all, my need for pancakes gets so intense. My need for pancakes becomes so pathological. I wake up. And it's, the first thought is pancakes. Just some pancakes. Like how I imagine Papa John does with Reckoning.
Yeah, of course.
When do I start? Can I start today? All my guns haven't arrived. I can't believe. I love that Vega shooter guy. What a funny guy. I was reading some of his journals. Some of that stuff is absolutely compelling.
Really?
I went and got a bunch of pancakes this morning, but there's nothing I love better because I'm already researching for next week's episode because it's fairly thick.
Right.
And so I'm sitting, does anybody else have the same experience that I do of sitting and reading the worst things in the world at a cute diner, like just at the booth, and they're like, morning, y'all. And they're so excited, being like, yeah, how doing, hun? Like super sweet, super nice. I got my pecan. I got my pecan pancakes with some grits, cheese grits. I got bacon and eggs all in one go. And what I like to do is I carve them all up into a big, like, splosh.
Right.
And then I kind of eat them all of the items at once. Sort of like them all kind of a melange.
Kind of like you're a prisoner and they want to give you food, but they don't want you to enjoy it.
No, but I like to make it a one big mashup.
You got to follow a guy named Otis on Instagram, Henry. He's a professional wrestler. He's a big chubby boy. He is very funny. He's from Wisconsin, so you got to love him. And he, nothing but food videos on his Instagram. I think you'd get pretty horny for it.
I love watching big fat like guys, and I love watching big like muscle guys eat on the internet.
Well,
I absolutely love it. It's so compelling. I don't know why I like it. I'm not getting hard from it. I would say it. I would fucking say it.
Absolutely.
If I did get hard from it, but I didn't.
Every time Henry gets an erection, you'll know. He screams about it. He brags about it for years. Because like a groundhog seeing his shadow, he never knows when it's going to come back or not.
And the big thing about that honestly is that when you get the boner, sometimes you just got to use it.
You have to use it when you got it. Otherwise, it's gone forever.
It's just another waste. Fucking waste.
I have to clarify one thing as well. Obviously, we have the horrible bushfires happening in Australia. That's still happening.
Yes.
Evidently, on last week's episode, I talked about how the pandas were burning. I didn't mean pandas. I meant koalas.
I think we all understand, though.
Don't pandas and koalas hold the exact same spot of your brain when it comes to wild animals that you also think could be really good friends of yours?
For some reason, I randomly know that pandas are related to raccoons and that koalas have chlamydia.
Yeah, they all got the clap because they're fun.
So they're fun. They're wild. They're free. No condoms. This must be very nice.
Well, it's very interesting. There's actually a panda version of the film Eyes Wide Shut, and you can see how they get chlamydia. It's quite erotic.
I honestly think it's in the Epstein files. I got some good responses. Again, take these with a grain of salt, but I've been kind of tossing money at the various things for the support of the Australian bushfires.
Not for support of the fires. We're not the only podcast taking the support of the fires. Be like, get out there,
I sent a bunch of hay. I sent a bunch of hay and I sent a bunch of gasoline.
We're team fire. It's a controversial stance, but we are team fire.
Fire has rights as well. There's one called www.wildlifevictoria.org.au. That's got, apparently there's doing a lot for the animals specifically in Melbourne, Victoria.
Great.
But I would also say they say something. Some people have been saying the Australian Red Cross, but I know the American Red Cross is fairly controversial about whether or not people get their fucking money or not.
Yep.
So I'm not sure about that. And then I've had a lot of people tell me to talk to people like locally, like look up, like literally do hashtag Australian bushfires, get through the first wave of new gingers. And then when you get to the fire parts of it, you'll find people that are genuinely on the ground, localized and they are looking for direct donations for help.
That's the way to do it. DM us a picture of a house on fire and be like, I'm right here, and let us know where to send our money precisely, because as Henry mentioned, the American Red Cross is extremely fraudulent. It reminds me of Mother Frickin' Teresa.
We brought her up last week,
too. Who ain't no saint at all. Next week, Henry, I'm taking the lead. We're doing a Mother Teresa segment.
I will do it in a fucking second. You know I hate that lion woman. I wish that I could hit her with a Nerf gun. I'd love to tie her up with a bunch of zip cords and fucking shoot her with Nerf guns until she told me she stopped believing God 20 years before she died, which is true. That is all completely true. There was another man who sent a picture. Did you see the man who sent a picture of his chest up to the top of his bush hairs? Uh-huh. And he said that he would send $10 to Australia if we, members of Last Podcast and Left, and Travis included, so congrats, Travis.
That's great.
If we sent him pictures of our genitalia, flaccid or hard. That was actually very generous of him.
For $10, he thinks that all three of our schlongers are worth $10 combined. That's at least a $40 picture. And also, that's not enough.
Do you really think that a picture of your penis is worth $40?
A picture of my penis is worth $1 million. There's very few pictures of it out there.
No, I know. It's like fucking Mother Teresa doing a genuinely good thing. There's very few pictures of it.
Very rare. She loved to kill the poor. She thought it was the poor's responsibility to die for Christ. She is crazy.
That's the only time I ever agree with her. Let's take a look at this fucking... I love the poor. I love the poor.
Good clarification.
I love them. All right, so I want to talk about this first story that I got. It is from eastidahonews.com. This is the person writing it. It's 26 degrees there, light rain. Sounds like it sucks, but thank you for listening.
Why are you dissing these poor, cold people?
I'm sorry, everybody. I don't mean to be aggressive today. I'm kind of hungover, and honestly, I'm about to fall asleep. I have 2 pounds of pancakes slowly working their way through my fucking lower intestine.
You did that to yourself.
I did.
Yes.
And I should have known that it's not responsible of me as a performer.
No, it's also a very strange thing to crave in the middle of the night, but...
Why?
I don't know. I just never think about pancakes. Pancakes are never on my mind, but we can get to the crime story.
We should get to the crime story,
yeah, but people are currently just like, we're not here to listen to you talk.
Shut up with the pancake hour. And I'm just like, it's my damn show! That's my show!
That's my butt. I got a pancake butt.
All right, so here we go. Court documents. Mother of missing Rexburg children believes she is a reincarnated God chosen for Christ's second coming. Hmm. Yikes. This came from last week. I believe this is written by Adam Herbets, KTSU, but there's another thing that says Daybell Case, so I don't know who the difference is what.
All right,
here we go. Family members from Louisiana have flown in to meet with the Rexburg Police Department and FBI to discuss the disappearance of Joshua J.J. Vallo and Tylee Ryan, 7 and 17, respectively. Kay Woodcock and her husband Larry Woodcock are the biological grandparents of J.J., an autistic little boy who has been missing since September, along with his sister.
Okay.
Tylee Ryan's father, Joseph Ryan, died in 2018 of a heart attack. Police said that the children's mother, Lori Vallo, and her new husband, Chad Daybell, did not report the children missing, instead choosing to flee from Idaho and refusing to cooperate with the investigation.
Hmm.
Now, this is a very convoluted story that I am going to try to break down right now. So Lori Vallo was married to Kay Woodcock's brother, Charles Vallo.
Okay.
So the Woodcocks are now in town looking for their kids.
So the Woodcocks lost their kids.
The Woodcocks lost their niece, their nephew and niece.
Okay.
So it's Lori Vallo. It's just Charles Vallo was one of a member was a member of the Kay Woodcock's brother. All right.
Okay.
Her previous husband. So on July 11th, Lori Vallo's brother, Alex Cox. So this is the mom's brother. Shot and killed her husband, Charles Vallo, in Chandler, Arizona. So this has already happened.
Okay.
Cox told police at the time that the shooting was in self-defense. The case is still under investigation. Alex Cox later died on December 12th in Gilbert, Arizona. Investigators are not releasing any information about the circumstances surrounding his death due to an ongoing investigation. Sounds like suicide.
Uh-huh.
So, but according to court documents, Charles Vallo was trying to divorce Lori Vallo because of her newfound religious beliefs. Months before she died, Charles Vallow had serious concerns about the kid's well-being. The following is an excerpt from court documents filed by Charles Vallow's attorney on February 15th, 2019. Buckle up.
Okay.
Mother, Lori Vallow, from hence now will be known as Mother, has recently become infatuated, at times obsessed, about near-death experiences and spiritual visions. Mother has told father, Charles Vallow, that she is sealed, eternally married, to the ancient Book of Mormon prophet Moroni, and that she has lived numerous lives on numerous planets prior to this current life. Mother also believes that she was married to James the Just in a past life and also lived as Mary French in the 1800s, who was Joseph Smith Jr.'s natural grandmother.
Isn't that an exciting life?
It is very exciting.
Yeah.
It's almost like she's making it up.
Could be.
Mother also informed father that she is trans. She is a translated being, which is in quotes, who cannot taste death, who was sent by God to lead the 144,000 into the millennium. I will say it is difficult to bring up in couples therapy that you are the one of the chosen one. I understand that it is difficult to approach, but speak to your partner.
Well, I mean,
it's,
it's
important to communicate.
How awkward is that when you're with your partner, you're having lunch, all of a sudden it's like, how do I bring up the fact I'm one of the chosen one? And it's just so weird that, like, they didn't make the cut. How do you broach that subject? It's not easy.
You know what you do if you're the husband? You eat that pussy. Because now you stay close to the Godhead. Eat that pussy. Stay in the pocket. That's how you don't get shot by the Godhead's brother.
Well,
so mother believes that she is receiving spiritual revelations and visions to help her gather and prepare those children to live in the New Jerusalem after the Great War, as prophesied in the Book of Revelations.
Interesting. So this is Lori Vallow that you're talking about, right?
Yes, okay. Yes. On January 29th, 2019, during a phone conversation between the parties and after their physical separation, mother informed father that she was God assigned to carry out the work of the 144,000 at Christ's second coming in July 2020, which is coming up.
Oh.
And if father got in her way of her mission, she would murder him.
Ooh.
The next day, father was on a business trip in Houston. And during another phone conversation, she kept referring to father as Nick Schneider.
Nick
instead
Schneider?
Instead of father's name. She kept calling him Nick Schneider. Father asked who Nick Schneider was.
Right.
And mother told him that Nick was father's real name because Nick had killed father and taken his identity.
Well, that's
seems
a hell of...
It's very complicated.
Hell of a way to get out of a speeding ticket. It's going to take a while for the officer to understand why he pulled over the wrong person. But
nah,
he'll get
I'm sorry, officer. My name is Nick Schneider.
Schneider, like the pretzel. Lori Vallow and Daybell, do you know what kept them together for so long, Henry?
What?
It's the same thing that keeps us together. They ran a podcast together.
Oh, my
it
God.
It was called Preparing a People. It's a podcast. It was a small multimedia company that said it's not a cult or even a group to join and distance itself from the couple's belief. It advertises in its lectures and podcasts and videos as readying people for the second coming of Christ.
Look at that up right now and send me those links. I have to see that fucking right now. I'm so excited. I did not know that. That's wonderful. Podcasts bring people together. So this is her with the new husband. Right. This is the new husband who has since disappeared and the kids have been gone since September. So
okay.
Mother proceeded to warn father, who was the original father, the father of these two kids.
Okay.
That she would kill him upon his return home and had an angel there to help her dispose of the body. She also mentioned that she could not trust father and that she would not only kill him, but would destroy him financially.
So is the angel Moroni?
I know.
Okay.
I don't know. No. She's just married Moroni. Moroni's busy.
He's busy. Okay, I got it.
He can't be there doing all this day-to-day fucking horseshit, right? that man's sister, Kay
okay.
Woodcock, told Fox 13 that she and her husband would routinely talk to her brother about whether it's possible to somehow overcome his wife's new beliefs and save the marriage. This is my main problem with Mormonism. It's the same story as the missing woman, Susan Powell, that their main concern is, but can you make your marriage work, though? Yeah,
right.
She's threatening to kill you and says she can't trust you and that your real name's Nick Schneider, but don't you think that you guys could talk it out? And it's like, no, man, get divorced. Just fucking leave. But he
easier
was obviously
said than done, though, Henry. Easier
I know,
said than done.
I know.
Because who likes to pack? Packing is the worst.
It's so stressful.
Yeah.
It's so stressful. So it is. It's just wild. So now He obviously comes home. First of all, if you are away on a business trip, if Natalie called me right now and said, "Baby, you know that I'm God. But I have to tell you this. Your real name is Lern Krefner."
I believe her.
And I was like, "I'm Lern Krefner?"
Yeah.
I was like, "I'll play the character of Lern Krefner. It means we could still make love to each other and have a happy home."
No, Lern Krefner doesn't make love. He makes fuck.
Yeah, I'll do whatever I got to do is Lern Krefner. I'll do that sex move where the woman's like, she's hanging off the couch and you're behind. But she's like, it's like doggy style, but upside down. Like she's underneath her taint.
Well, now how would she watch the TV then?
It's a perfect vantage for the TV, but she'd have to watch it upside down. But
saying,
but what I would say is, if you're receiving all these, if you're on a way in a business trip, someone's telling they're going to fucking kill you and you return, take a couple of days off.
Oh, absolutely.
Going home. Stay wherever that office conference is. Maybe book a couple extra days in that hotel.
Maybe it's a Margaritaville, a similar Margaritaville I stayed at in Florida. Have fun.
Do you remember that really nice hotel we stayed at in Orlando? It was technically a Disney resort. You stay at Disney resort. You just stay there a couple extra days, kind of let like maybe some of the steam out. Like you can do all this kind of bullshit. Being as mad, or maybe Maroney will tell her that she's wrong. You never know prophecies.
You never know. Do what Jack Nicholson told Kobe Bryant to do when he was giving advice to a 19-year-old Kobe Bryant on the basketball court.
Heat up.
Get loose.
Get loose.
Get loose.
Oh,
actually, with my voice being as bad as it is, I think I do a pretty good Jack Nicholson.
I'll tell you what. Do a good Jack Nicholson. That's my Jack Nicholson impression.
Oh, it's good. So Charles Vallow, he filed for divorce. This was pretty crazy. He also accused Lori of threatening to kill him if he got her in her way. This is according to Kay Woodcock. She says, this is about Charles. She says he was highly concerned about it. Her emotional state, her mental state.
He should have been. Should have been highly concerned.
Yes, he was highly concerned about it. Her emotional state, her mental state, and the fact that she had made threats about him. It all culminated into that cult that
of course
she's
it did.
In. So what do you do? So if you're in a relationship, though, and all of a sudden, one day, your spouse comes home. They truly have changed. They call it a rebirth, being reborn, being born again. This can be either a spiritual thing or someone just comes home dressed in all MAGA gear and you're like, what happened? We were just fine, normal
just
Thursday.
Fucking leave.
You gotta
go. The cleanest break in the world. That's the cleanest break in the world because they're not even there emotionally anymore. You could probably go get them served and sign paperwork and be like, "This Maroney wants you to sign this. Yeah, he actually came to me in a dream last night, and he said that he wants you to sign this and have us divorced." It's just like, yeah, Maroney really knows what he's talking about, and so she'll sign it. And you don't, you know, then you're done, you're out. But so Chad Daybell,
okay,
her new husband, his wife, former wife, Tammy Daybell, she died within 2 weeks prior to his marriage with Lori Vallow.
Whoa!
So Chad Daybell has killed his wife. They don't know yet. They think that they believe that she died from natural causes, but their body has now been exhumed so that they can do a proper autopsy on her. This shit's fucking insane.
I mean, in many ways, isn't getting strangled to death a natural cause, you know?
And so apparently Tammy Daybell had called 911 in the days prior to her death. She said she reported a man pointing a paintball gun at her. So you got to look at this. So number one, I'll put a little number out here they have in the end of the article. If anybody has either seen J.J. Vallow or Tylee Ryan, call 208-359-3000 or 1-800-THE-LOST, which is a very intense phone number.
And the 1,000th caller will be signed up for free to the Publishing Clearinghouse, which is back. Publishers Clearinghouse is back. And what my understanding is, they'll bring you that money right to your front door.
They will. But this is one of those stories that I feel like this can come out. I'm going to listen to this podcast that they did, but it's a two-person cult. A two-person
Can it be a two-person cult? Isn't that just a fucked up friendship?
I don't know, man. I wonder, because in a way, a marriage is kind of like a little business, right? It's a thing. Like getting married, and you are creating sort of a, because finances are involved, all this kind of shit happens.
Sure,
it's a
merging
of two people's lives. So I think that two people, in a way, can form a little cult, especially if people are dying because of it. I think that in a way it's like the smallest, most intimate cult of all, because it's just a feedback loop between two people spurring each other on. They must be filled with sexual intensity. I really do believe there's a part of that weird. There's a Mormon sexual intensity that can kind of zip through your body because you have to be fucking to make more kids.
I suppose so. It's very Amish. But I think you need a third member of a cult, though, because you need a cuck. Every cult has to have yes. a cuck character. Otherwise, it's not a cult at all. How do you know you're powerful if you have no one beneath you?
They killed him.
Ah, this is according to Kay Woodcock. She says, "We knew it was murder. We knew Charles's death wasn't a justifiable homicide. It was like they set him up." Definitely. So it looks like the Woodcocks, they're putting on their detective caps. So this it is seems how you like they solved a lot of the issues here.
This is how you know it's a cult, what they're involved in, is that they said preparing a people is part of a media company that films speakers on a variety of topics not affiliated with any specific religion.
Hmm.
Color My Media owners Michael and Nancy James wrote on the company's website. It's not a group, and it's not a cult or something people join, but as educational lecture events that can be attended or watched on video.
All right. Well, they do have a church spokesman, Eric Hawkins, who has ironically declined to comment, which is theoretically his entire job.
What?
He's supposed to be talking. There's a spokesman.
So Julie Rowe, a self-described visionary and energy worker who says she has been long friends with Daybell, like the energy workers my mom's working with, they're all trying to make her cheat on her against my father.
No one is making your mother cheat on your father. All
they
your mother
flirting
does.
With her.
No, your mom is just talking to other adults, and you are crazy.
She keeps. They keep offering her motorcycle rides and boat rides.
Let your mother live a little bit.
I want her to.
Okay.
Uploaded a video. So she uploaded a video on her website defending him and claiming his innocence and the children's disappearances and the death of his previous wife. Now, she is defending Daybell, Chad Daybell. This energy worker has come out of the woodwork to just defend Chad Daybell.
And Julie Rowe, when she says energy worker, we're not talking like Con Edison.
No.
I believe this is a much more loose interpretation of energy.
Yeah, she's not on the line.
No.
So she said Daybell repeatedly told her that he had a vision of Tammy's death, like he was planning it. Rowe claimed to have the same vision, like she helped plan her murder.
No, it's visions, Henry. It's not premeditation. It's
visions. If you're making yourself have a vision, it's a plan. So according to Julie, my angels tell me that Chad Daybell is being falsely accused of the suspicious death of his wife. I have talked to Tammy's spirit, and she said, Chad's got nothing to do with it. It's clear then.
Interesting. I wonder if she is the greatest witness to have in court for your defense or the single worst witness ever.
I don't mind having a witness that's wearing a see-through shirt and a wig.
Right.
Like, I don't mind that, but they have to be fucking on the money and they better have a lot of receipts. So 2 days before Thanksgiving, officers were already very concerned about the children going missing and they checked on Lori and Chad. Right? Because it calls a worried family member.
Sure, of course.
Investigators said the couple claimed JJ and Ty Lee were visiting relatives in Arizona. So the two minors had left and were visiting relatives in Arizona on Thanksgiving.
You know how kids are. They don't want to go to Disneyland. They don't want to go to places that might be fantastical, geared towards children. They want to go to Arizona where you can still get lost in the desert and be eaten by birds.
No, they want to be frightened at the airport, not understanding how to get through security.
That's what they want.
No help. Kids hate help. And so they discovered this lie immediately. It's not like they had to go and check it out, I guess. Investigators returned to the home the next day.
If you are the parents, you're investigators, isn't it the excuse being like, my kids left to Arizona? Aren't you not good parents then?
You're the parents.
Right.
You didn't take them. They just left. They took a bus. So next day they came and discovered that whole thing was a lie, they came in. For some reason, Lori and Chad had left town.
Get out of here.
So now they are gone. They are on the run. We don't know where these two kids are.
No. And so, the sheriff's deputies searched the Daybell's home. They removed 43 items, including cell phones, computers, medication, and journals. And I can only imagine the medication needs to be taken by those people. I can only imagine the insanity that those journals contain. And the porno on the computers must be ultimately fascinating.
I mean, if it's anything like some of that documentary footage I saw about Mormon women and their missionary work and the way they reach out. Some of those Mormon girls, it's just important for them to be doing that work. So whatever it happens.
That's one of the interesting things here about Last Podcast on the Left. The Mormon series was heavily researched, extremely in-depth, involved, educational, and the reason why we got into it was because Henry started looking at Mormon porn.
No, and then,
Marcus started with Mormon porn. And then we have to cover all of Mormonism because he squoshed it to a series of gals.
And I don't like the fact that I scloop to the same fucking shit that Marcus scloops. But at the same time, I mean, like, if the dick comes, you know what I mean?
I'm pretty sure scooping is when the cum goes back into your penis. It's very bizarre.
I try to do it. It's kind of fun. I'm like, eat your soup. Eat your soup.
you are disgusting. All right. So that story, we will keep you up to date on what's going on there. Hopefully they find those children.
I hope they...
They're dead though, right? No, I don't want to say that. But
odds are they're not here anymore. Nothing's good.
No.
Nothing's good about it.
All right. Well,
talking about nothing's good, you know who's also not coming back, who's not going to be found, is Neil Peart, drummer of Rush. He fucking died.
He died, yes.
Died of cancer.
That wasn't, there's was nothing nefarious there.
I'm looking up to you, Neil Peart. Fucking, I hope you got the most fucking rockin'est drum rig in the whole world. You can finally go full 360 without having to be strapped to your stool. So, good ups to you, fucking Neil Peart, and I hope you're fucking kicking Beethoven off the piano and playing drums on the piano up in heaven.
Well, that doesn't make any sense, but Keith Moon is up there in heaven rocking every Saturday night at Heaven's if there was a make-believe cafe up there.
I'd love to see Keith Moon and Neil Peart play drums just for hours each other in heaven.
An all-drum band. I think I could take just the right amount of weed edibles and enjoy a band that is just five drum sets and everyone's got to sing at some point.
God, man, I could fucking be high enough for a lot of shit.
Yeah. Well, speaking of masturbation and murder, this story is insane. Crystal meth, man. Can crystal meth, it doesn't let you down. It's a drug that lives up to its name, right?
People love crystal meth. They absolutely love it.
They really do because it gives you certain powers. You feel like a superhero. Yes, you're also now a felon because you've done something horrible. But that amount of, if you could just harness the 1 minute rush at the peak of the meth experience before it goes downhill, and then all of a sudden you're in a bank and you're taking a dump and you're asking for your sucker, and they're like, we don't give suckers to people who are not
talking about one of these fucking suckers.
Whoa.
And you just start sucking your own dick in the middle of the bank.
Well, that's horrible.
You know what it is about meth is that it gives you a lot of confidence. It's kind of like those tampon commercials where it shows like a woman like riding a horse and playing tennis and going grocery shopping, but with meth, you could do all of it at once.
At the same time, and you could be bleeding from parts of your body. I just watched that South Park episode where Cartman got his period because he had a bloody asshole. That's a great one. So this dude, his name is Andrew, I believe it's Fry, it's F-R-E-Y, could be Frey, but Andrew Fry, he was high on crystal meth, he was masturbating, and that's when a bunch of cops went over and were like, yo, bro, you can't really publicly masturbate. And Andrew Fry, he had a different opinion. He ended up fighting all 15 officers before they finally took him into custody and stopped play. And before they finally took him into custody, but the entire time he was fighting off these officers, he was also fighting off his own penis. But he was masturbating while fighting 15 cops.
Wow.
That is crystal meth. I didn't realize that you could get so aroused on crystal meth. I figured it was one of those almost like cocaine and whiskeys where it made your penis kind of be like clocked out for the weekend.
No, dude. Crystal meth makes you hornier than ever. Have you ever watched one of these videos? I've seen there was like this old man. It was talking about how he's like, you know, some people need Viagra, some people don't want to do that, but sometimes you got to lose. You hit that rock, and then what happens is your dick gets so thick and so big, so long and so ready to come. You tip your dick, it's so sensitive, you don't even have to fucking touch it. You just look at it, it comes. And meth now, is
what video,
very exciting.
Now, what video? Where'd you find that video?
Look up meth hard-ons.
No, why'd you look that up?
You know, I do a lot of shit on the internet.
All right. So
I see it all.
You are a man who has seen it all.
I see it all.
So Fry later reportedly told authorities that he took methamphetamine and couldn't remember the obscene incident. He has been arrested for indecency, theft of services, and of course, resisting arrest.
Yes.
The sad part really is he was also tased. So this guy had a hell of a day.
That is a big long day.
But can you imagine being so high that you don't remember jerking off and fighting 15 police officers? I feel like no matter how fucked up I have ever been in my life, I just feel like I would remember, like something would stick in my frontal brain and just be like, oh, what happened last night? And then at some point I would be like, I fought 15 officers while I was masturbating.
You know what it is that I think it's not that you directly forgot, but I think you like wake up and you're in a jail cell and you're all fucking the shit beat out of you.
Oh, yeah.
You're wearing not your clothes.
No.
You're wearing stuff that the police department gave to you. And while you were in your meth haze, you were in a form of conscious, and you were making decisions at the time that seemed fucking rock solid, and you were super excited about it. You wanted to show these cops that not only could you physically beat them, but you could also come,
right,
which is a huge embarrassment to them, the fact that he could hold them off long enough so that he can come.
Oh, my God. Officer Smorgasbord, just you can see the cum just hitting his badge. And he has to look and just be like, why did I choose this profession?
Well,
what am I doing here?
Just know for a fact that if you cum on a police officer, you're going to get anklets. They're going to put you through the ringer, if at all possible. This guy, you wake up. And then so I think you got a lot of hints as to what happened. You're like, I remember a lot of activity yesterday. I remember I went and got a smoothie. I picked up some blue for my buddy Spider. Then I saw 6 hours of Golden Girls. But now I'm here. And so I feel like you do piece it all together. And once you get a helpful nudge from the police, and when they describe all your actions, then the full picture comes back.
Absolutely. Hopefully you can kind of figure that out there. So there you go, folks. Be careful on crystal meth. I would just say kind of stay away from it in general. Even if you have to drive long distances, just take the trucker speed is all you need.
Honestly, with I understand a lot of people trying to kick coffee, but meth's not the way.
No.
Green tea.
I don't, this whole anti-coffee thing, I've had some friends who went anti-coffee. I don't know. I think I'm going to stick with coffee.
I like coffee.
I just love it.
I just like coffee.
And the
so
tea.
So that's what I'm doing.
Whenever we go over to Europe, they say, oh, do you want some breakfast tea? There ain't no caffeine in that.
There is, technically.
But it's not our good caffeine.
No.
I need too much caffeine.
It's not weapons grade caffeine.
No, I need to be upset with myself for something I did in fourth grade. That's when I know it's a great cup of coffee. When you finish it, and then you're like, God damn it. Why didn't I sing properly? All right, we're going to do Hero of the Week. Before that, I'm a little bit late to the game here, Henry.
What?
I'm a little late to the game. I finally watched Don't Fuck with Cats.
It's very good,
right? With Luca Mignotta. If you haven't seen that out there, it's the first episode sucks to watch because they show way too much of this video of cats dying.
It ruined our night.
Oh, yeah.
It was not a nice night.
But that three-part series, Luca Mignotta, he is a character. And the people that found him, those internet nerds, I love them so much.
They are very enthusiastic.
They are. Internet sleuthing. Like, they were so fun, the way they would dissect all the pictures and be like, yes, where's the doorknob from? Where's the electrical outlet from?
They didn't help.
They did.
They didn't actually help.
But because nobody listened to them.
Yes. No, it's very sad.
And also,
but no, Luke Magnotta is a very interesting cat that we should probably do an episode on at some point.
And the reason I bring it up, Henry, is because I do have one question. Do you remember when they're talking to Luca's mother and Luca is telling her all about this horse,
so,
and I don't
want
to spoil this situation.
She reminds me so much of Andrew Cunanan's mother.
She is so sadly created
touch.
A devil. She created a horrible person, and
yes,
she just can't address that. But there is a hand in the footage of the first murder of the cats at the very end of the footage. Do you remember that, Henry?
Yes, there's like second hand.
Their second hand, but they never explain whose hand that is.
No.
So, I don't know. Maybe someone can email sidestorieslpotl@gmail.com if you have any information on who the hell's hand that is, because someone else was in the room when he first killed those cats.
There's a lot of shit going on, but then Luke Magnotta, even now, he did another interview with himself online. I have to find it. We should play it on the show. He did another interview. They said it was an interviewer with a robot voice, but it was him. He created a thing from jail saying that he was a part of some massive conspiracy and that there's other people involved and that he was making these snuff films for the U.S. government. That's what the whole line that he fed his mother. You should watch the documentary series. It's very interesting.
The only conspiracy theory I'm buying for 2020, hindsight 2020, Luca Magnotta killed Jeffrey Epstein, which I think is possible. Maybe.
I don't know. I'm still with the papa on that one. I'm still watching. I'm still waiting for the papa on what he finally does and reveals his reckoning. And I'm telling you what, we either roll with it or get rolled over by it.
Absolutely. And there is more information coming out about the Epstein situation regarding the footage that afterwards, after the suicide,
they deleted
it. So
they deleted it.
They deleted it.
This is just getting to be so. So stupid, man. It's so bad, man. I don't know what to do, how to even approach it anymore. I'm so lost.
Well, Henry and I will keep you updated on the Epstein thing. We'll do that more in length, because we talked about it the day of or the day after, and then a whole bunch of weird information's come out. So we'll do that.
Everything's
again in the future.
So contradictory that it's so difficult to really piece it all together. And obviously now all the cases are closed. Also, I believe it was the fourth accuser of Kevin Spacey also died.
That's another thing we really have to talk about. Maybe he really is.
I don't know.
Is this
the
face of the Illuminati? Because he made the double Christmas videos. We talked about that in Abelian's Top Hat. Support that show, please. Listen to it. Thank you. He made the double Christmas videos. He's getting scarier. And now the fourth accuser's dead.
I don't know. He is either the luckiest rapist to ever live. or he is.
Luckier than the Golden State Killer, I guess.
Yeah, or our president. He literally somehow got away with all of this shit. His victims are mysteriously dying, and I really wonder. I wonder if he has a hand in it. I don't know.
Who knows? We have lost one friend. Rest in peace, KB, January 22nd this year. Think about Kevin. That'll be the 1 year death. What do you say? Anniversary? Death of her? I don't know.
I'd say anniversary,
day.
Yeah.
It's very, very sad. But we know one person that's died. How do you magically somehow have four people within 1 year that just so happened to accuse you of rape just dead?
I don't know.
And why
is it?
This is another massive
coincidence.
But don't you think that should be? It has not touched the news.
Yep.
Isn't that weird?
It is real weird. It's almost like there's a gigantic cabal that runs all media.
We have one friend on the inside in L.A. inside of there, and hopefully he can let us see what they do. All right. Well, let's talk about Hero of the Week. You know, we talk about gamers all the time, and sometimes it's very negative because they swat each other and they send horrible people to people's homes and they try to get people killed.
I like gamers. I think it's a fun activity to do. I'm getting into it.
So the parents of a teenager, he suffered a seizure while chatting online. They thanked his friend who called emergency services from 5,000 miles away. Aiden Jackson,
wow.
He was talking to an American gamer from his bedroom. Oh. And his friend, 20-year-old Dia Lathora from Texas, alerted police in the UK. The first Aiden's parents knew of the emergency was when police and an ambulance appeared at their front door. The Liverpool Echo. Politico reported, Caroline and Steve Jackson then rushed upstairs to find their son extremely disoriented. Mrs. Jackson, 48, said, "We were at home watching TV and Aiden was upstairs in his room. The next thing we noticed was two police cars outside with flashing lights." Now, usually as a parent, you're like, what has my children been doing? What has my child been doing on the internet?
Yes.
Is this horrible? Like, why are you here? I assume they were in the area for another reason, and then they ran up to the front door. They said there was an unresponsive male at the address. We said we hadn't called anyone, and they said a call came from America. I immediately went to check on Aiden and found him extremely disoriented. Aiden had a seizure. Miss Jackson added, "We are extremely grateful for what Dia did and shocked that we could be downstairs and not know anything that was happening." So hero of the week is Dia Lathoria from Texas. Thank you so much from 5,000 miles away, saving this person who was having a seizure unbeknownst to his parents.
I also love this story of the tortoise that single-handedly is saving the tortoise population in Galapagos Island by being one of the horniest turtles on record, where it's fucking so much that it replaced the entire species on the island. That's incredible.
Really?
Yeah,
really?
You read that story?
No, I haven't.
That's a great story.
I didn't see that one. I'm gonna Google horny tortoise Galapagos.
Yeah.
Let's see what happens.
I want to see what comes up.
Okay, horny tortoise Galapagos. Oh, we got the Galapagos tortoise. Oh, let's see here. I'm not finding anything about the
horny. That's the key word.
Horny is the operable word. Oh, I see. I put in Horby. That's the problem. He's big old fat. Horny tortoise saves entire species via sex. Oh, this is a kind of an old school story. It's a bit old. It's from 2016.
Oh, it's 2016. God damn it.
No,
God
I think,
damn it.
No, you know what? We weren't even doing side stories, so we got a lot of work to do.
We do got a lot of work to do. All right, absolutely. I got some really good letters
also,
that I
Henry,
want to go through.
You know the name of the tortoise?
What?
It's Diego. Sexy Diego, the tortoise.
That is very cute. Okay, I have two of the more interesting letters we've ever had on the show and one of the grossest single things I've ever read. So
okay.
Let's go through this. So, this comes from E. I works an aerospace engineer focusing on counter-drone measures. Last week, Ben panicked about gave domestic terror ideas about nerds strapping grenades to drones for a swarm attack.
I did not give the ideas. I
you
am
put it out there.
Say,
you inspired
I'm
people. I love it. I'm happy that you did.
It's not the. I think the idea has already been created. I am a mirror of society, and if you don't like what you're looking at, well, then maybe you need to change the world we're living in.
Whoa.
Yeah, buddy.
Whoa. What is this, Captain Planet? Unfortunately, his panic is already a reality, with all of his fears almost spot on. There have already been multiple instances of drone swarms of around a dozen homemade drones attacking a Russian airbase in Syria. The drones used in these attacks are bigger than the kind you would get for Christmas, but as you can see in one of the links, they're basically a motor attached to some hobby electronics and foam board, held together with tape. This was also an attempt to assassinate the president of Venezuela in 2018 using explosives strapped to two commercially available drones.
Uh-oh.
When it comes to strapping a grenade to a drone, it is already a common tactic to take drones you get at Christmas, like a DJI Phantom, attach a metal tube to it, stuff a grenade inside, and wire a drop mechanism to drop the grenade over the target. Recently, this tactic backfired when an ISIS fighter's drone ran low on battery, automatically returned home to the pilot, and blew himself up.
I actually had something very similar happen to me. I've been playing Division 2 again, which means I've been staying up until 8 o'clock in the morning. And I had a drone situation that exploded above my head. And
this
I
is
was
real.
Just, I was
this
devastated.
Is real, Kissel. This is actually
real.
Very real.
Oh, this is real. Okay.
Defending against drones is a major area of R&D and also a major concern since most defense systems don't scale down to drones. For one, they're so small that it can be difficult to detect them from background noise. Additionally, if they're detected, they can have erratic movement, making them hard to hit, unlike, say, a mortar, which is small but follows a calculable trajectory. Finally, it's also a numbers game. Some current missile tech can detect and take out a drone, but that's using $1 million munition to take out $1,000 toy bought at Best Buy. I hope I don't scare you guys too much. You don't. You're actually exciting me. I think it's fucking awesome. I love all this chaos.
I mean, we know what's happening.
But there's a lot of interesting developments out there in the counter-drone world, like lasers and net guns, and then hopefully you can calm Ben down soon. But I don't want you to be calmed down. I say fucking everyone should be vaguely scared.
Hey, buddy, I ain't scared. I'm ready to go. Get your, you know, I have my my salt gun that I've been taking out the flies with, and maybe I'm going to get a net gun to take out these damn drones. I am team anti-drone. I always will be. They're just used for peeping. No one's, everyone's like, oh, you can use it to film your next big movie. You can use it for artistic reasons. There are very few artistic minds in this world. It's just going to be used to either look at your own sister or your neighbor's sister nude while showering, or maybe a girl is going to look at her 14-year-old friend that's a male, and you know 9 times out of 10, you'll be masturbated.
It is not like that all the time, and again, I think everybody should be free to do whatever they want for their drones.
If you saw, we talked about that, Henry, you're the first one. If you saw a drone in your backyard that did not belong to you, I know what you're going to throw your coffee cup at it. You'll throw a TV at it.
Yeah, but that's fucking fair game, buddy. Okay. That's how it is. Man's love and war. That's how it is. You got
to
do it.
It's supposed to be just, we're not supposed to be a war.
No rules of love and war. And it says it in the book. There's a book.
I know, but we're not at war.
So listen to this one. Every day's a war. Every day's a war. Each man is a war. That's from Dune. Okay. Now look at this. This comes from A. Listen to this story. This is fucking wild.
Okay.
Two things you should know. I have a secret security clearance and I worked in a tactical operations center the majority of my Iraq deployment. I know. It wasn't ours and I have never seen anything like it. I was deployed 2008 to 2009 in the southeastern part of Iraq. My job was to oversee parts of operations and communicate with units in our area of operation at the brigade level. I remember that it was late at night. I had a 12-hour shift every day from night until morning. Ooh. Now, in this Tactical Operations Center, or TRC as I refer to it, we could sometimes see what UAVs in the area could see on a screen. Which UAV is an unmanned aerial vehicle. It's one of the things that they call a drone in the military.
Yes, and you can listen to Henry mention UAVs when we release this year's live show special. It'll be coming out sometime soon. We have to edit it and do a whole series of things.
We have to do a lot of shit.
Henry's alien segment is it's thick.
It's thick. So on this night, it was pretty quiet. No attacks around, and things were going smoothly. I had a running list at all times of the events of the past 24 hours, which sometimes contained things like small arms fire, indirect fire, but nothing much that day, and I was thankful. Hmm. So our UAV picked something up in the distance. Most of us there weren't paying too much attention at the time. Slowly, the UAV closes the distance. I won't go into details of which type of UAV we had going at the time, but it could fly overhead, target your toenail, and then put a bomb on it. It was a damn good UAV, and quick, too. As it closed in, we saw it was a flying craft of some sort. The fuck was exactly what I thought as it became clearer. We were tracking with the UAV a bit and started to get a few different angles on it. It didn't seem huge, maybe even the size of a UAV or a human lengthwise. The one thing that truly stood out to us, and I will never forget, is that it had a vertical kind of dorsal wing at the top of it, but no horizontal wings. Hmm. How the fuck can something fly like that? We're all kind of watching it in weird disbelief. Air Force has been called. Army has been called. Navy has been called. It isn't ours. The Romanians, the British, the Canadians, the Australians, our Iraqi army allies, it isn't theirs.
Hmm.
Almost as if it noticed us getting ever so closer, bang, it banked hard left. It was such a fast and abrupt acceleration, the Air Force guy's jaws dropped and said, that's not possible. Our UAV gave chase, but so slow. We have incredible tech, and the UAV was top of the line. It struggled so hard to even get in the right direction. That's how crazy acceleration of this thing was. Again, how with no horizontal wings? We eventually closed the gap again. Almost felt like it was letting us. It should not feel as if we were chasing like the predators we were used to being. More like it was toying with us like you would a child by running a little ahead so they would give chase.
Whoa.
Again, close enough to get a clearer picture, then banked again. I don't remember which ways it was going, but it was sporadic, and it didn't seem to have a clear goal. If I remembered correctly, though, it did seem to have a propulsion from the rear. This went on until it banked and then just kept going. It left one of the most leading innovations in UAV tech in the absolute dust. The entire event, from seeing it to leaving it, lasted just under an hour. The major in charge, along with the other higher-ups, really had no idea what to call it, let alone what to do about it. I asked the major what to write it up as the event. He said, well, I guess we just put down UFO. So I did.
Damn.
There was over 20 of us who witnessed the UFO. We were all pretty speechless. None of us really talked about it much because it would just be pure speculation. Plus, surely someone in the infinite wisdom of the U.S. military had to know what it was. As you can imagine, being in a war, our thoughts turned quickly to other events and we forgot about it. I can't totally forget, though, because it was so insane. It wasn't ours. It was something else.
Damn. Well, and of course, where the military fields, the in military theater, in the theater of war, that's a great place for extraterrestrials or for UAVs to be, because there's so much stuff going and flying around the skies. All new technology. Like, we release new tech every year. Yep. Everyone in the Middle East is like, ooh, what are they going to kill us with this year? And we're like,
oh, cool.
This year, we gave our drones a smile.
Oh, cool. Fun.
But that's very cool. Very interesting. Cool.
And now I'm gonna read this. I don't know why I'm gonna read this letter. So hopefully you continue to listen to the show afterwards. I don't know what this is about. This, you tell me how you see how you react to this.
Well, how now? So you said it's the grossest letter we've ever received. Now,
I don't know why it is.
In what war? In what realm? Listen, is it gory? Or
you're gonna listen? You're okay, gonna listen right now.
Okay.
Besides the one of the dog chewing on the paralyzed woman's foot, that was wild.
That was insane. And you know what? Dogs don't usually do that. You want to be careful when you pass out in a stupor.
Okay, so this comes from M. I'm answering an inquiry from your last side stories about if it's okay to let your pet suck on your toes.
Oh, my.
I'd say it's probably fine, but for me personally...
I read this, and you're reading this one?
It's very uncomfortable. Yep.
Oh,
my goodness.
For
reasons I'm about
to
share. I used to have this cat that was very sweet, but very mentally handicapped. She loved licking people and grooming the
Henry.
Hairs in their arms, and it was just innocent cat antics.
It's handicapped.
Yes, handicapped. I sleep naked. And one night I woke up to the oddest sensation right near my coochie. I woke up to find that the cat had gotten into my room under my covers and had groomed all of my pubes with her tongue until they were all slicked down. I hadn't shaved in a good while, and while I had a full bush on my pubic mound labia and around my asshole, and she'd gotten almost all of it. I freaked out and launched her off the bed and ran to the shower. I'll never forget being woken up at the sounds of wet lapping and seeing her cross-eyed gaze fixated on my pubes. The next day, I had to clean up her hairball that was probably full of my hair.
Ugh.
I have never been the same since. And I don't know why that's bad. I feel like it's actually, I guess, you know, a cat can do whatever it wants. It's just something about, it's the waking up to it.
No, it's disgusting. I read this in our side stories email, and I just kind of left it. I was like, all right.
I thought it was interesting.
No, it is. I don't know if it's interesting. It's definitely disgusting. And you never know what cats are up to. That's why it is like, don't fuck with cats on the internet. But also, you got to realize sometimes a cat does need to be thrown across the room. Sometimes.
I don't like, yeah. But yeah, you know what? I'm not saying your body's disgusting. I think it's great. It's just something about it being all full of your pubic hair that just kind of, but I guess at the same time, I guess in a way it's like a lucky cat.
No, it's not a lucky cat. It's like a cat that's in a barbershop that only trims pubic hair, and it's licking up all the floors because they don't want to clean it up with a broom.
It
is not a lucky cat. This cat had no idea what it was up to. It just found a bunch of hair somewhere.
Technically, just loved it. Loved every minute of it.
Goodness.
Well, this is a great episode. We're in good shape. You and I both look, we sound good. We feel good. God, it's good, man.
God is good.
I really, really feel, I feel so healthy.
You know, technically I do feel good. And if you're out there and you're doing your sober dry January,
do it.
So if you're out there, you're doing a little dry January, try to hang in there as long as possible. But you know what I said, Henry, if I do want to get a beer, I'm going to let myself have a beer because you don't want to hit yourself with a spoon.
I don't believe in saying, like, that's why I've said before, it's not that I quit smoking cigarettes. I'm not smoking cigarettes now. So it never has to feel like a thing that I'm withholding from myself.
Exactly. Because then your body is like, I want it. It's just very bizarre because it's like,
me deserves it.
Exactly. All right, everyone. Well, thank you all so much for listening. We are super excited to see you in April. We're going to be hitting the road, and it's just going to be a wonderful, wonderful time. So if you're in Lubbock, this every single segment of every single show we're doing is going to be called Last Podcast Talks to Lubbock.
If you're in Lubbock, this
please.
Is a big deal for Marcus.
Marcus,
you've got to come to see this show.
If you don't show up to this show, it will be
it's
like having
shatter
a
him.
Like, I'm going to have a birthday party, and then no one comes. Then Marcus is going to spiral, and then you know what? He's moving back to Lubbock, but he thinks he's Jesus Christ this time, and next thing you know, he's mayor of Lubbock, and you will regret the day you didn't come out to our live show.
Honestly, it sounds like a really good opportunity. It sounds like a really good opportunity for Marcus, and I don't want to take that from him.
No,
don't come to the show. See what happens. See what happens to your precious Lubbock when Marcus is in charge, when big Marcus rolls back into town.
Oh, my goodness.
Because shit's going to change.
Last podcast on the left.com. Check out the website. You can see all of our live dates there, and we are so excited. And we have also just finished signing half of the amount of copies that we have to sign for the book. We are, I think, 8,000 deep each. And my signature, Henry, I have to say, over time, sometimes my signature is just devolves. Gorgeous, but then it devolves, it evolves, it just totally changed. At one point,
we talked about this. It's so funny. It's a weird phenomenon where it's just like, I was like, how do I write? It was like by like box five. I was like, how do men write?
I totally forgot. I had to actively focus, and my signature is just
so
a
funny.
Big B.
Yes, it's so funny.
Anyway, so we are excited for the book tour, everyone.
Yes, and also, subscribe on Spotify. February 14th, we're going exclusive. We can't wait to begin our work with them. Just fucking roll on over and hit the subscribe button. It's exactly the same as any other app. I've now gone exclusively to Spotify to listen to podcasts. That's great.
I love it. And keep on supporting all the shows here on Last Podcast Network. Travis Morningstar and I are really kicking some ace on Abe Lincoln's Top Hat. So please support that show. Support Wizard and the Bruiser, Page 7.
Page 7.
Support all of the shows on the network because hopefully within these next few years we can have all the shows humming along and everything is going. Every show right now is going great. And thank you all for your support and continued
and
support.
Also, the new show for Page 7, Pop History, is a lot of fun.
Yes.
Like, in-depth look at different pop culture figures. And old. It's really... They're doing really good work. I was fucking laughing my ass off listening to it the other day.
And kind of fun. The wrestling podcast, Katie and I sort of changed the format. We're going to be giving you wrestling news along with one story that's an evergreen story. So this past episode, we discussed how Scott Hall, a.k.a. Razor Ramon, actually killed someone when he was a bartender at a bar. He shot him in
incredible.
The head, and it's very interesting.
That's awesome. Good for him, I guess. Bad for him? He got through it.
To be fair, Henry,
the guy
kind of had it coming. You don't. Scott Hall is 6'8". Like,
yeah,
you don't
fuck with him.
No,
don't fuck with him.
He made a mistake.
So live your life every day like you are hungover looking for pancakes and you're about to get them. You're so buckwheat horny and you're about to slide in your gullet and you know how soft and succulent they are and they know how fill and how guilty you're going to feel afterwards and you're going to love it. So fucking get into it.
Okay.
You got to laugh like you got a big fluffy stack of pancakes in front of you and you've been thinking about them for weeks.
Seems like you're
still
thinking about
them. Honestly, I love pancakes and I honestly had incredible pancakes. It was over at the... what was the name of this diner in Atlanta? It was a diner. Thumbs up diner.
Thumbs
up pancakes.
Diner.
Very thick.
Okay. I like
Very
it.
Very thick. Really good. And then laugh like you just skipped a whole family of seven that are patiently waiting, but because they spent all this time fucking breeding, they're not eating there alone. But when you eat in a restaurant alone, you get to slide in and just sit up at the bar.
Yep.
You don't have to talk to anybody. You don't have to entertain these people. You can just do whatever the hell it is that you want and sit in silence and eat. And eat like no one's watching.
Top tier service when you go in alone. I love it. It's one of my favorite things to do.
Mine too.
All right, everyone. Thank you all so much for listening. Never forget, hail yourselves.
Hail Satan.
Magustalations.
Hail me. And get some tea, Kissel.
I'm going to get a bunch of tea if you have any recommendations.
Not gossip. What's that? Not the gossip kind.
The gossip kind? What do you mean?
It's a fucking term. It's a term, Kissel.
Oh, it's a term. Well, I stand that term.
I hate it. I hate everything that we've ever done.
If you have any suggestions, last podcast on the left, or no, last po- what is it? Side stories, LPOTL at gmail.com.
Oh, my God.
Just shoot me an email and be like, Kissel, eat this. And if you say gargle cum, I might just do that.
So he'll take whatever suggestion you got.
Don't even play.
All right. Peace.
Bye-bye.
See you, fuckers.
This show is made possible by listeners like you. Thanks to our ad sponsors, you can support our shows by supporting them. For more shows like the one you just listened to, go to lastpodcastnetwork.com.